I wish to be the first to say Merry Christmas to you all. We move now in transition from the season of Advent, a season of preparation, a season of anticipation for this night. For 4 weeks, the church has been looking forward and preparing. We prepared our hearts by making a good confession. We prepare our churches. We prepare our homes for this evening. So here we are finally celebrating Christmas. And how do we celebrate it? All those names. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all those 14 generations, plus 14 generations, plus another 14 generations. I remember the first time I heard this gospel. I was in seminary. The priest who was proclaiming the gospel that evening was an elderly man. He came up to the scriptures, looked at the page, turned the page, looked down the page, took a deep breath, and then rattled off all those names. He did it in about a third of the time that I just did it. I probably have the same reaction as you. Why all those names on Christmas Eve? What is the gospel writer Matthew trying to tell us by letting us know right off the bat the genealogy of Jesus Christ? He's trying to underscore Jesus' identity with the Jewish people. For you see, at the time of Jesus, every good rabbi can do the same thing. They could rattle off 14 generations plus 14 generations plus another 14 generations if anybody asked them. Because a good rabbi had to know that he was established through his patriarchs, through his genealogy, all the way back to Abraham. And so Matthew is underscoring Jesus' humanity by identifying him with the people Israel, the holy people that God had chosen so long before. It was to this people that God had revealed his name. It was to this people that God has established his statutes, his commandments for them to keep. And it was through the Jewish people that he announced the Messiah, the Christ, one who would save not only the Jews, but all people, the Gentiles. And that was the good news of the early, early church, that not only did God love the Jews so much that he would send us his Son, but he would love all humanity through his Son. Through the gift of his Son, then we have redemption. Through the gift of Jesus, in particular, through his suffering on the cross. This is what redeems us. It's not just the birth of a little baby 2,000 years ago. It's what that baby would become as a man, that he would be the Lamb of God. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Somebody becoming the Lamb of God. Yet that is what John the Baptist said of him when he first saw him. When John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, Jesus came on the scene. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." And so the disciples of John switched over and became the disciples of Jesus. John said of himself that Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And so Jesus' ministry begins that way, with a pronouncement that he would take on our sins. And 3 years later, he did just that when he mounted the cross. And there, suspended between heaven and earth, he suffered for our sins. And by his dying, he redeemed not only the Jews, but he redeemed everyone who would be willing to come to him and be baptized. For those of us who have been baptized, then, our lives ought to be different Our lives should not be like everybody else's lives. For we know who our Redeemer is. We know that we have a Savior who has prepared a place for us in heaven. So many of our friends do not understand this. They live a purely secular life, a life without God. But we who have been baptized into what? Into His death. St. Paul tells us, we've been baptized into the death of Christ. So we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for God. This should be our specific character for those of us who have been baptized, that we live for God and to allow God's grace, God's holiness to come to us day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday. We come acknowledging our Savior and say thank you. Thank you for the redemption, Jesus. Thank you for taking on my sins. Specifically then, thank you for your body and blood that come to us in the Eucharist. So when it came time in the early church to set aside a special day to commemorate the birth of our Savior, what celebration is equal to the Mass? None. The Mass is the worthiest way to celebrate and worship our Lord. For it was from our Lord's lips, "Do this in memory of me," that we have do this Sunday after Sunday. And so the early church would celebrate Mass on the Nativity of our Lord. It became known as Christ's Mass. That sound familiar? Christmas. This is the best way to celebrate Christmas that there is, by attending Mass. Oh yes, there's the gifts, there's the family get-togethers, there's the cooking and caroling. But the best way to truly enter into the spirit of Christmas is to come and kneel before our Lord and Savior Jesus and to thank Him for the gift of salvation, to thank Him for our redemption, and then to ask for His help to carry out the mission that He started so long ago. What mission is that? Spreading the good news so that everyone will hear of it, so that everyone may choose to follow after God and not live for themselves, not live for the world. Hopefully this is why you are here this evening. You're here to worship. You're here to bend your knee in adoration. You're here to change your life. For that's what Christmas means. Coming to celebrate the salvation Jesus won for us by allowing His Holy Spirit to make us into a new gift for others. So as we continue with this Mass this evening, we should first pray for ourselves to allow God's holiness to come into our hearts and our minds, to realize God became man. God became a little baby. That's an amazing fact that we celebrate tonight. So we need to pray for ourselves that this fact of Christmas may truly take root in our hearts and our minds. But secondly, we need to pray for others. So many people have fallen away from Christ. They see Christmas just as a secular celebration. So we need to pray for them. And hopefully by our actions, by what we say and do, by what we don't say and don't do, namely sin, that people realize that holiness is available. From whom? From Jesus Christ.